Well, good morning one more time. It's Wednesday morning and it's time for Bible study. My name is Wanga Mohale. Thank you for tuning in. And we are continuing on the subject, Never Stop Growing. This is a subject that encourages us that we must never stop being deliberate with our spiritual maturity or spiritual growth. Now, before we start, let's just have a prayer. And then we take it from there. Father, thank you for today. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. Thank you for a new day. May your grace increase upon our lives today. Lead us, guide us. And even as we get into your word, may we receive grace out of it. Grace that will turn our lives around. In Jesus' name we have prayed. And everybody said, amen. Okay, if it's your first time, welcome. Would you please do me a favor? Subscribe to this channel and then also share the link. And by the way, you can be able to also get these messages on our podcasts. Now, we have already covered the fact that there are five elements to spiritual maturity. That is what the Lord showed me. In fact, this whole series is around that. I'm just summarizing this series that I did about a year or two ago. That the elements that make up spiritual maturity, first is that we must know the form of spiritual maturity. In other words, you must be able to identify what is spiritual maturity, which is that character comes before gifting. Number two is that spiritual maturity has a principle. Yes, there are many principles to spiritual maturity, but there is one that we must focus on also. It is the principle of the fact that spiritual maturity, you must have consistency. Consistency is one of the important principles of spiritual maturity. And number three, which is what we're dealing with today, is that spiritual maturity has a process. You have to follow, go through the process of spiritual maturity. And then the fourth thing is that spiritual maturity has got a practice. There is no spiritual maturity without practicing biblical truth. And the last one is that spiritual maturity has got outcomes, and you must be able to identify and see those outcomes. But today we are talking about the fact that spiritual maturity has a process. Or shall I say, spiritual maturity is a process. The spiritual maturity is a process. Okay? And let's begin here for today. That if spiritual maturity is a process, and in the last broadcast, we used the parable of Jesus Christ, of the word, the seed and the soil, then we will see that if spiritual maturity is a process, then if we use the farming practice, the farming industry, as an analogy for spiritual maturity as Christ showed it here, then we know that according to the parable, the word of God is the seed. The word of God is the seed. And secondly, our hearts are the soil or the ground. The word is the seed and our hearts are the ground. And if our hearts are the ground, we have to understand what the Bible means by heart. Many people think it means your spirit. It does not mean your spirit. Go and look at the meaning. The meaning actually is that your heart is your soul. Your heart is your soul. That's why the Bible speaks about the many souls which were saved. Okay? Now, if your heart is your soul, the Bible does speak about the soul or the heart. It says in Proverbs 4:23, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life." Out of your heart flows your life. Your spirit, which is born again, is where the voice of God is where the guidance comes from, is where the food is processed, is where the word is revealed, but it feeds into your soul. If the word does not influence or change your soul, which is your mind, your will, your emotions, if it does not renew them, you are going to have a difficulty maturing spiritually. Let me tell you that. It does not just mean that, you know, you have matured spiritually because your spirit has received the word of God. Your spirit is at home with the word of God, but your soul needs to grow. It needs to be renewed. It needs to be changed. Real maturity begins when your soul starts to be renewed and your life, in other words, your behavior starts to be transformed. You've got to see that. So the seed of the word must be planted into your soul. It must be able to change the way you think. It must affect your will, and then it must affect your emotions, like the scripture that we read. So in this parable of the sower and the word, the seed and the soil, Jesus was actually saying that there are four types of so-called believers. There are four types of believers. There are those who have a heart that does not receive his word. They can be his children, but they have a difficulty absorbing the word more than just their salvation in their lives. I don't know if you have ever seen those people. I have seen them. I have believers who just don't mature spiritually, regardless of where they are. They need deliverance before they can be able to hear the word. Or the alternative thing is that they are not really born again. But there are also, the second category, there are also those believers who cannot withstand temptation or persecution. You know, when challenges come because of the word, persecution comes because of the word, they just abandon their Christian life. They will be back on Sunday to come and say sorry to God. It was bad, you know, there was a problem and so and so. And then number three, Jesus was actually saying, there's another believer, you know, who is worldly. Those who the cares of the world just controls them. They are controlled by the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. And they are taken up by those things. They are worldly, controlled by the world. And then there are those who are very receptive to the word, who really take the word of God serious. And this is where I would like to take all of us. We have to be the fourth category of believer who takes the word of God seriously, and we see the word as the seed and our hearts as the ground, and we have to go through the process. So we allow the word, the process of maturity, to affect our soul. That thing that we call the renewing of the mind. Remember, the purpose of the process is to produce matured sons of God who will increase in the good fruit that produces, or that we call maturity. Okay? So, this process that we are talking about that leads to maturity, it follows more or less the same stages that we know about what you sow on the ground. First, the seed must be sown. The word must be heard. Now, let me tell you something. When you hear the word of God for the first time, especially if it is a profound revelation, it excites you. Please don't be deceived by the fact of how it has excited you and it has impacted you, and you think you are done with it. You see, you are not done with the word simply because you came to the first stage of revelation, of the first stage of hearing it. Because the planting of the word, the planting of the seed, it comes when your soul receives the logos. It receives the seed. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That word that is communicated, it may be a topic that is being addressed. You know, it may be the explaining that you know, that you hear of a part of the word of God that you never saw it that way. It's a divine expression of Christ. As that happens, please do not rush to think, oh my God, I have arrived. No, you it's the word, it's the seed has been planted. The seed has been planted. The fullness of the manifestation of Christ does not happen at the stage of the planting of the seed. This is where it begins. Do you understand? And then you have to create that conducive environment for that word. The relationship between the seed and the ground. You must protect, you know, you must kind of protect the seed that is in your heart. And as you protect the seed that is in your heart, you must know the next step is the same as we do with the ordinary seed. What do you do after you have planted the seed? You water it. So the word that you have received, it needs to be watered for it to bear fruit. Remember, we are talking about the process. The seed must be watered. Now, let me read to you Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 1 and 2. Here's something here in that scripture. It says, "Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. Let my teaching drop as rain, my speech distill as the dew, as raindrops on the tender herb and as showers on the grass." Okay. Now, when he says, "Hear my teaching," he also means hear my instruction or hear my doctrine. So the word is the seed. Now we are hearing that the word is also the water. The word is the seed and the word is the water. Isaiah 55 verse 10 and 11. "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater," that's fruit, "so shall my word be which goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I have sent it." Here again, the word of God is being portrayed as water. So the word is the seed, the word is the water. So phase one, you receive the word, but phase two, you water the seed. How do you water the seed? You water the seed with water. Obviously. You water the word with the word. In other words, this is those situations where you do not get one truth, you understand, and you run away with it, and you make that truth everything. The word of God must be witnessed through another word. In 2 Corinthians 13:1, that is what Paul says. This will be the third time I'm coming to you. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. Listen, regardless of how powerful what you heard has impacted you, you need to water it with another truth of the same nature from the Word of God. We water a revelation by pouring another revelation upon it, truth upon truth, precept upon precept, line upon line. You've got to build the word like that. Don't run away with just one truth. Sometimes what you have heard is part of a bigger revelation, of a wider revelation. So if you take that one part you have heard, you may end up turning what God is meant to be a life-giving truth into a heresy. Because that's you are only running with one revelation. You are refusing to water the seed. That is why in today's Christianity we have so many problems, especially with fathers and sons. You understand? Where somebody just goes and says, no, the Bible says, I will return the hearts of the fathers to the sons and the hearts of the sons to the fathers. And fathers are demanding sons to be sons. And sons are demanding fathers to be fathers. But they don't know how it happens. So they've only got the truth that the hearts must be returned. How they are returned, they just make it up for their own self. And we have so many hurt fathers today. We have so many hurt sons today because the water, the seed, was not watered properly. You water the word with the word. You get a witness of the word from the word of that same truth. Ecclesiastes 4:12 tells us that though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. It tells us the principle of adding the same to make it stronger. In other words, you put the word of God on the word. You build the word with the word. You confirm the word with the word. You strengthen the word with the word. Okay? For an example, when you hear about healing, that your healing is a done deal. You know, your healing is a done deal. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. By his stripes we were healed. You need to put truth upon truth. You need other scriptures like 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. By his stripes ye were healed. Okay? And then you need to put another truth upon it. Truth like Romans chapter 8, verse 11. The Spirit in you who will quicken your mortal body. Then you begin to see that when he said, by his stripes we are healed. Right? He's speaking from the time, the prophecy speaks into the future. By his stripes we are healed. But Peter confirms it in his day, because by then Christ was already crucified. He said, by his stripes ye were healed. You understand? It puts another layer to the truth of your healing. Then you have Romans chapter 8, verse 11. The Spirit in you quickens your mortal body, meaning that by the Spirit who is in us, when we believe in that word through the Spirit in us, that is how that healing will manifest. Of course, We do have times where hands are laid upon us, but the best way is for you not to wait until hands are laid upon you. You process the word, you mature into walking in divine health by understanding this is how it works. You understand, you put one truth upon another. You water the word with the word. Somebody say, I hear you. Somebody say, I'm listening. Sometimes watering the word with the word is listening to the same truth again and again and again. You know, Proverbs 25, 2, the Bible says, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings is to search out a matter. Okay? God maintains his glory by keeping certain levels of revelation hidden from just anyone. That is why, you know, you cannot expect an unbeliever to understand God, no matter how learned they are. No matter how learned they are, if they are unbelievers, they cannot know God until God reveals himself to them. But he will reveal himself to them when they open their hearts to him. When they open their hearts to him. So here the scriptures in Proverbs 25, 2, it says, it is the honor of kings to search out a matter. You are a son of God. You are a son of the king. You have to get into the habit of knowing how to search out a matter. In other words, to penetrate the matter, to penetrate the word, to go into depths of truth from God. They say the word of God is as deep as God himself. Therefore, you know, there are people who are speaking about how many levels of revelations there are, but the word of God is as deep as God himself. So you have to get into this word. And if when it is the word that you have heard and you get deeper into that word, you are actually watering the seed. You are watering the seed. You know, Jesus says in Luke chapter 8, verse 9 and 10, then his disciples asked him, saying, what does this parable mean? And he said, to you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. Meaning that the disciples, the sons, it is their right to hear the depth of the word. And sometimes, you know, the seed, when the seed is planted in you, it almost starts to reverberate with that scripture that says, deep calleth unto deep. You kind of feel in you there is more to this truth. There is more to this seed than what I have heard. And what do you do? As you dig deeper, what are you doing? You are actually watering the seed. You are watering the seed. So it is given unto us to know and to experience the hidden truths that are found in the Word of God. The divine truths. And the more they influence us, the more they will take us to the next step, which is the practice of the word of God. Okay? So, as we go through that process of looking at the word of God and understanding that when I have heard, when I have received the revelation, or when I start to hear this truth, it does not mean that that's all there is about it. My heart has received the seed. I want to mature and I want to be deliberate with my maturity. Therefore, I am going to go through the process. And what's the process? The process is I receive the seed, but the seed has got to be watered. Let me read Proverbs chapter 25, verse 2 to you in the Passion translation, in the Passion translation, it says, God conceals the revelation of His word in the hiding place of His glory. God conceals the revelation of His word in the hiding place of His glory, but the honor of kings is revealed by how they thoroughly search out the deeper meaning of all that God says. In other words, the king will go to the hiding place of God's glory, and when he enters that place of glory, the word, the seed that came at a specific level of depth, it goes deeper. It goes deeper. Right now, I've been telling our congregation that, you know, as I'm reading the book of Hebrews, I'm beginning to see salvation in a different light. There is the salvation that we understand, that Jesus Christ died for us on the cross and He shed His blood for us, and now we are sons of God, and through the cross we receive forgiveness. Through the cross we receive healing. Through the cross we receive prosperity. But what happened deeper in explaining what salvation is in terms of how Jesus, what happened when Jesus rose from the dead and went into the tabernacle of heaven itself to present His blood, and how the Bible explains it, I am telling you, when some of God's people begin to understand the other part of what happened as Jesus completed our salvation, you will realize that indeed there is no other Savior except Him. Jesus Christ is the one and only, the soul, the one Savior of the world. He is the one Savior of the world, because no one has ever done what He has done the way it is understood. You understand? So, being like Christ is actually our goal. It is our destination. It is where we are going in Christ. So we water the seed, which means we go deeper into understanding the word, and then we become like Christ, the Son of God. Then we manifest Jesus Christ in our real world. That is what this is all about. Let me pray for you as you enter this new day. Let me bless you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray that you help us to understand not only the form of maturity, not only the principle of maturing, but also the process. And help us, give us the grace to go through the process and understand what it takes, the seed being planted in us and being watered. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray that as your sons enter into this day, it will these words that we have shared will become part of their meditation until we are able to speak more about it. Bless every work of their hands today. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. It's been wonderful to be with you, and I hope we will be together again next time. From me, Wanga Mokgale, it's Shalom.